Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Oklahoma Perspective. There is a move to put State Question 802 on the Oklahoma ballot. If this question passed, it would expand Medicaid in the state of Oklahoma. Recently, KRMG's Russell Mills talked to Amber England, who is involved in the process to put this question on the ballot. She explains what Medicaid expansion in Oklahoma would mean and how it would benefit Oklahomans.
We're going to talk about Medicaid reform.
Medicaid expansion.
Medicaid expansion. And you're with an organization called Oklahomans Decide Healthcare.
Correct.
Now, I believe that this is the organization that was instrumental in bringing what will become State Question 802 to, if you get enough signatures to the ballot. And today they gave you a date to start that process.
Yes, so the Secretary of State has set the date by which we could start collecting signatures. That date is July 31st. And from that date, we'll have 90 days to collect 178,000 signatures. So it's off to the races.
So this is not an effort that began, just last week or whatever. This is something, in fact, you had a pretty major court battle to get through just to get that date and get this process rolling. True?
Right. So we filed the initiative petition on April 19th, and soon thereafter, there was a challenge by OCPA, Oklahoma Council of Public Affairs. We won that Supreme Court case in mid-June, and then just a few days ago, the Secretary of State set the date. We know now that's July 31st, and so what you'll be seeing over the next 90 days is this campaign really come to life from a grassroots perspective all over the state. So we're going to be doing days of action where all of our partner organizations will be joining us so that every Oklahoman has the opportunity to get involved in this campaign. So if you're living in Godibo or Enid or Ardmore or Tulsa or Oklahoma City, you're going to be able to have the opportunity to not only sign the petition, but help us go out and collect those signatures, because they have set a pretty high bar of 90 days to collect 178,000 signatures. But we feel confident that we'll be able to meet that threshold just because there's so much momentum on our side and people wanting to get this issue taken care of at the ballot box.
Not a math guy, but I think that roughly translates to 2,000 signatures a day.
Yes, it's certainly a high bar, but we've got, since we won the Supreme Court challenge in mid-June, we've had so many people reaching out asking how they can volunteer. And that's honestly what we've been doing over the last couple of months, is just laying the infrastructure to be able to actually plug these folks into and get them out collecting these signatures. So we'll be ready to go on July 31st.
I guess the good news is, considering the timing, you'll have two big old state fairs that you can have a booth at. I mean, there's that. This is going to be pretty much an all-volunteer effort. So that's going to be a lot of work.
Well, obviously we're going to do whatever it takes to get the signatures. We feel really confident that we've got the ability to get a lot of signatures through our volunteer effort, but we're not rolling out doing a paid petition drive. We'll obviously just see how it goes. We think this issue is too important to leave to chance. And so we're saying that, we're going to leave all our options on the table to make certain that we meet that deadline, that we collect those signatures in that time frame.
Now, you mentioned some partner organizations. There are some pretty impressive and longstanding organizations that back this effort that are directly involved with healthcare in the state. True?
Yes, we are so honored that the Oklahoma Hospital Association, St. Francis Health System, St. John's, folks at the Oklahoma Nurses Association, those providing care to Oklahomans right now and understand this issue are at the table and helping on a daily basis, and we're very grateful for that partnership. I think the Hospital Association in particular knows the struggle, particularly in rural Oklahoma. Since 2016, eight hospitals have declared bankruptcy and six have actually closed their doors. And so this is an issue that hits close to home for those folks living in those communities where those rural hospitals closed. If we had had Medicaid expansion, we might have been able to have saved some of those hospitals. We'll just, never know. But we know that if we can expand Medicaid, bring back over $1 billion a year of our taxpayer money back home, that we can help save rural hospitals. We can deliver health care to almost 200,000 Oklahomans that don't have it now. And in the process, we can create a lot of jobs. So to me, it's a win-win. It makes economic sense, but it's also just the right thing to do.
All right. So I see your booth at the state fair and I wander over and explain to me what this Medicaid expansion is. What am I voting on? What do you tell folks?
Well, what we're asking folks right now is, don't you just think that Oklahomans should have the opportunity to decide this issue? So this isn't the actual campaign where we ask you to vote yes or no on the actual policy, but we want you to have a say. And so what these signatures are going to do is allow you to actually vote on this issue and to decide whether or not we bring back $1 billion of our taxpayer dollars back home from Washington, D.C. and expand Medicaid to serve people who could be getting health care now, but haven't been able to get it because our politicians in Oklahoma City have failed to act for the last 9 years.
Okay, so the petition drive would put the issue on the ballot and then voters get a chance to decide whether or not they favor Medicaid expansion. I get that. But
that's correct.
Explain to me what Medicaid expansion is, because I don't know anything about it. I pay my insurance premium once a month and that's all I know about my health care.
So Medicaid expansion is actually going to expand the amount of people that can actually qualify for medical coverage under Medicaid. So right now in the state, people making less than 17, it's a poverty level. So what Medicaid expansion will do is say individuals making up to $17,000 a year and family three making $29,000 a year would qualify for Medicaid. And what that does, it allows people that can't afford insurance now, but are working adults, particularly working in for usually small businesses that don't offer a health insurance plan, retirees that nearing retirement age that don't quite qualify for Medicare yet, they're not old enough for Medicare, but they make too much, those folks would be covered under this Medicaid expansion. What we know is it'll cover about 200,000 more Oklahomans today than are receiving Medicaid right now. And what we know when that happens is our health outcomes get better. So we're almost dead last in health outcomes in the country. And if we want to improve those rankings, Medicaid expansion is by and large one of the best ways to make certain that we are improving our health outcomes, because when people have insurance, they go to the doctor. And oftentimes when people don't have insurance, they're going to emergency rooms to be seen for issues that they should have been seen a long, long time ago for preventative care. And by the time they get to the emergency room, it's acute care. So it costs a lot more to actually deliver that health care to that individual. So we know that this is actually going to make Oklahoma a healthier state. And it's also just economically, we're bringing home $1 billion of our taxpayer money that's already leaving the state right now. And other states have been taking advantage of this for almost a decade, and Oklahoma has failed to act. And so that is why we're trying to get this on the ballot to allow Oklahomans to decide this issue.
So don't want to put words in your mouth, but what I hear you saying is we're paying into this system and not getting our fair share back.
That's exactly right. We are paying. Oklahomans are paying now over $1 billion a year, leaving the state, going to Washington, D.C., and it is money that we could come back to Oklahoma, invest in our communities, and deliver health care to more people and save our rural hospitals.
Okay. Other than the OCPA, are you seeing much organized opposition or pushback on this issue?
We haven't seen a ton of organized opposition. I think just everybody across the state knows someone who needs health care but can't get it. Someone who is nearing retirement, might not be old enough for Medicare yet, but not quite eligible for Medicaid. But if we were to expand that and accept those dollars that are leaving our state now, those folks could be covered. And so really, we know that this is a winning issue at the ballot box if we can just get it to the ballot. And so that is what the next 90 days is about, is asking Oklahomans, hey, don't you think it's time for Oklahomans to decide this issue at the ballot box? And if you do, please sign this petition if you're a registered voter.
Ana Maria Chavez is with the National Council on Aging, a group that is dedicated to providing information to aging Americans. Recently, KRMG's Russell Mills talked to Chavez about the council and the information they provide.
Can you kind of tell people a little bit about the National Council on Aging, what it is, what it does?
Sure. Absolutely. The National Council on Aging is a national nonprofit. We are nonpartisan. We've been around for almost 70 years. We're the oldest advocacy organization in the country that's focused on helping older adults, specifically those who are struggling to make ends meet. Our focus has always been on ensuring that Americans age well. That means having economic security and the ability to live with dignity in their communities after retirement. And this is important because every day, 10,000 people in America turn 65, and nearly half our population is already over the age of 60. And in particular, I did some research on Oklahoma and found that there are about 800,000 individuals in your community, age 60 and over, which makes them roughly 20% of your state's population. And over the next 10 years, the number of seniors will grow by almost 30%, which is faster than any other segment of Oklahoma's population, which I found extremely important for this conversation.
Absolutely, that is. And it certainly, addresses a concern that we're going to have moving forward, which is, how do we take care of these folks? Or better yet, how do we help them take care of themselves? I think most people in, life want a hand up, not a hand out. And
sure.
It sounds like what sort of resources does the National Council on Aging offer? How do you help people?
Absolutely. So we do a few things that we've been doing, again, for almost 70 years. First is we're advocates, right? So we helped write and initiate Medicare and Medicaid when it was first written. We've always been at the forefront of public policy issues when it comes to issues impacting seniors, ensuring, again, that the laws passed in our Congress assure, again, proper health care, Social Security benefits. We also are big advocates for ensuring that there are federal programs that are focused on their issues, such as fall prevention programs, chronic disease management programs. We currently run the Center for Benefits Access, which means we partner with local community organizations, could be a local nonprofit in Tulsa, where they provide in-person assistance on, what other benefits can we help you sign up for, whether they're local, state, or national benefits. We help them sign up for local programs, whether it's aging mastery programs, which show and demonstrate to adults and what are the steps they can take to ensure they're going to age well in their fourth quarter of life. And again, we advocate constantly, both at the state and national level, to ensure that the funding continues for some of these very important programs, such as Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and for programs such as SNAP, which used to be called food stamps, but these are programs that are providing benefits to seniors so they can stay in their homes, buy the proper food they need to eat a healthy diet, and to stay connected to their community.
All right, so you touched on healthcare and the cost of healthcare and prescriptions, and that is a concern for all Americans, but increasingly so for our older folks. And I know I'm getting there. I'm not quite 60, but I'm certainly thinking ahead and going, wow, am I going to run out of money before I die? Because people are living longer and longer. We know the dollar's not going to be worth, 20 years from now, what it is today. It's hard to even figure out how much you're going to need to retire.
Right. And this is where, again, we come in to work with national and local partners. Interesting enough, we recently teamed up with a leading polling and data firm called Ipsos, and where we went out and we asked hundreds of adults that were either at or near retirement about, again, what are their concerns about retirement? And we found that almost 60% of Americans age 16 over are concerned that their health care and prescription drug costs are going to outpace their retirement savings. And what was very interesting about our data that we found was that the concerns are even higher for women. Almost across all the questions we asked, whether it had to do with healthcare costs, paying their bills, or outliving their savings. In one instance, 52% of women aged 16 and over told us they are worried about becoming a burden to their families, a full 12% more than men. So, you know, again, it is a these issues. We hope that we're going to reach 60, 65. The demographers tell us there's a growing trend that people are going to, you know, age into retirement and continue working. You know, I recently saw a stat that showed that today in a local community, we could be living among somebody who could potentially be living to 110. So again, we all are going to be thinking about, you know, are we really going to retire at 65? Some of us may need to actually continue working, one, because we want to continue to enjoy life and work on issues we're very passionate about. Some of us may want to retool and reskill because we want to start a fourth career in our lifetime. In addition to your business owners in Tulsa and in Oklahoma, many of them are looking, you know, to really look at an employee base maybe perhaps they hadn't thought of before. What about hiring those individuals who are tenured in their field to come into your workforce to help you with some innovative solutions that you've been looking at? And for women in particular, because we've been followed by something called the pay gap. Right? Some of us aren't being paid the same as others to doing the same job. So unfortunately, we're saving less in Social Security benefits in our 401ks. And so we get to retirement age, our Medicare benefits may not meet the monthly needs that we have. So we're going to have to continue working. And many of us are also having to become caregivers, right? So and these are all issues that we're all thinking about. But the good news is you can start planning today to meet your retirement needs. So you don't have to be 65 and start your planning. I talk to a lot of millennials and people, you know, in their 40s about, let's start thinking about it now so you can plan for the future.
Well, isn't it fair to say that the earlier you start making those plans, the better off you're going to be?
Oh, of course, of course. But unfortunately, many people, you know, it's harder to think about, you know, wow, I'd really like that new laptop or that new iPhone, right? But let's think about maybe instead of buying shoes, buying buildings, right? I say that to a lot of people. You know, let's invest in now for the future. But sometimes that, you know, new car looks spiffy. But again, let's think about that compounding interest of saving today for 40 years in the future.
Why is it, do we think that women are more concerned? Is it because they didn't make as much money? Is it because they're just, I don't know, smarter and more practical? Or what do you think is behind that statistic?
Well, you know, I think right now, clearly, there's a zeitgeist in the air, right? In society, people are talking more and more about women's issues. You've seen the whole Me Too movement. You're seeing more women being elected to Congress. A lot of women are, you know, the head of households actually buying those consumer products. So they're seeing that their wages aren't making the needs being met, right, on a monthly basis. And because many of our caregivers are having to deal with the finances of an older parent or parents. So I think a lot of us, I can speak for myself as a mother, as a daughter, as a wife, you know, I think about that every day. Like me, 51% of women are over the age of 60 are worried about outliving their savings. They are worried that their prescription medicine costs in 20 years are going to outpace their savings account. So again, we at the National Council on Aging are putting out information. If you go onto our website at ncoa.org, you can find out about all the programs we oversee, not only for the federal government in partnership with them, but also in collaboration with nonprofits in 43 states. We also have a great website called benefitscheckup.org where people can log in and with very simple fills, you know, areas to fill out on this website, you can look up all of the programs that you may be eligible for, whether it's food assistance programs, whether it's energy assistance programs for your house, so on and so forth. So again, there are a lot of things that we can partner on with you to ensure that you're stretching your current monthly salary, that you're saving for retirement, and you're being proactive about living a healthy lifestyle. So hopefully, as my father, who is turning 90 years old next week, can continue to live a really healthy and productive and happy life.
Anna Maria Chavez with the National Council on Aging. Special thanks to KRMG's Russell Mills for the interviews. This is Oklahoma Perspective for Cox Media Group. I'm Bert Williams.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.